the rest of the story. Mary Rose came home crying. That's all Harry knew about it at first. She was sobbing, would not say why. Finally, she told him who'd hurt her. Sure, Harry recognized the name. He was a member of a rival gang. Harry put a comforting hand on Mary Rose's shoulder, looked right into her eyes. He said, "I'll take care of it," and that was all he said. What he meant was that he would handle it the way you handle things in the streets, fair and square, in a two-man rumble. Of course, you do it the right way, procedure, you might say. You've got to confirm what you already know. So Harry found the fellow, asked him straight out. "Yeah, I did it," he answered. And he added defiantly, "What are you going to do about it?" Harry stared back with that cold, dead expression of his and said, "Call your boys, and I'll call mine." And he turned and walked away. With nothing more passing between them, the fight was on. That night, Harry got his own gang together. They had a war council. "Where are we going to do it?" somebody asked. Somebody else said they had the alley all picked out. So Harry deployed three representatives to meet with three of the other gang. Said he wanted the details worked out fast. "It happens tomorrow," he ordered. The emissaries obeyed. Tomorrow came. Backup forces from both sides jammed the appointed alley elbow to elbow, at least 80-some, maybe 100. An airtight circle was formed from which neither warrior could flee in fear. The weapons upon which both gangs had agreed, bare fists. The signal came and the battle began. Harry's opponent was older, heavier, perhaps even stronger. But Harry was quicker and harder and tougher, the stuff of which killers are made, according to Talk in the Hood. And when the long, brutal brawl was over that day, both he and his reputation were still standing. Nobody remembers the other guy's name, but he spilled blood, and that blood turned the front of Harry's gray flannel shirt dark red. And after his pals had scraped him up off the pavement, both gangs silently dispersed, and Harry went home to Mary Rose, to whom he quietly announced, "It's over." That's all he said. For once upon a two-man gang war in Tacoma, Washington, in 1914, a brother named Harry avenged his sister's disgrace. For what the offender had done in a classroom at Tacoma's Webster Grammar School was to draw an embarrassingly overweight girl on the blackboard and then scrawl beneath it, "Mary Rose." And that was why Mary, humiliated, came home crying and eventually confided her shame to her brother Harry, age 10, who summoned his gang of schoolboy buddies and calculatedly carried out his retribution. For once upon the defended honor of a fair, if plumpish maiden, there was a chivalrous and dangerous young Galahad who vanquished a varlet 3 years older than he. You never heard the lethal side of Tacoma's pint-sized Dirty Harry until right now. You knew him as Easy and Breezy, the man that boy became. But now, whenever you hear his name, you're going to envision the gallant fourth-grade youngster lurking behind the lazy, laid-back style of the sleepy-eyed crooner. You're going to remember Harry Lillis Crosby, whom the world remembers as Bing Crosby? Bing Crosby. Only now you will know the rest of the story.